Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. If you're new here, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. One track at a time, that is. I am your co-host, Mark Meyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, has the snow just completely fallen down into create a frozen hell for you yet?
It's actually melting here this week. We hit +4, which what I think would probably be in like the 40s for you. So that's like shirt and that's t-shirt and shorts weather for this area. So things are melting and it's been really quite nice. It's going to get cold again next week, but for this week we're expecting +4, +6, really nice warm temperatures.
It's been the low 40s and mid 30s over here, and that's in Fahrenheit, and no shorts. The shorts time is over for us down here, but today was in the high 50s, which is weird. But then I remembered I live in the South and nothing makes sense weather wise so
nothing makes sense anywhere in the South.
That's true. I mean, yeah, it's weather, it's driving patterns sometimes, it's just drivers in general. Don't get me started on that. Nothing makes sense down here. We could do a whole show about that, but instead, you didn't come here for that. You came here to listen to us talk about Van Halen. And if you don't want to hear us talk about Van Halen, then just go listen to Van Halen. It's fine. It's all good. We appreciate you either way. There you go, take a drink every time I say it now that I'm aware of it.
Now you caught yourself. We're talking about this, it's a Mark catchphrase. We appreciate you, and you're like, I don't really say that, do I? 2 minutes into the show you said
I do. Yep, 2 minutes in. So it'd be if you're keeping track at home, there it is. There's one catchphrase. And also, before I forget, we are now post Thanksgiving holiday for the Americans out there. So to all my fellow Americans, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you are well rested. At the time of this recording, I have yet to feast on Thanksgiving dinner, so I can only speculate that it was a great grand time. Corey, you've already celebrated your Thanksgiving, so I hope yours was awesome.
Yeah, we celebrate Thanksgiving in October, and it was awesome. So this week it's just Thursday, but it's a great Thursday because we got football, NFL football. There's 3 games, so I'm taking the day off work. I'm parking my ass on the couch and I'm watching some NFL.
Look at that. See, NFL, American football is universal. You hear that? Two countries coming together to celebrate it. But what's going on in Van Halen news? Anything remarkable, Corey?
I tell you, there's not a ton. Again, we recommend everybody head over to the Van Halen news desk where you can get all your Van Halen news. There's a couple of cool articles. You could get the lyric video for Mammoth WVH's single Goodbye, which is on the they released a deluxe version of the album Wolfie did, his debut album, which is a phenomenal album, and with some extra tracks, and they're all great. I highly recommend everybody go check that out. There's an article on Sammy Hagar talking about the Twister era, and there's actually a song that was recorded around that time that's still in the archive somewhere that hasn't been released yet. But wow. You know, he's convinced that it'll come out at some point. They'll find it and they'll clean it up and get it out there, so we can anxiously await that. And another article actually came from a Guitar World interview, I believe, Sammy Hagar, on why Four Unlawful is his favorite Van Halen record. So that was a really good read as well. But nothing really in terms of news. I know Sammy's out there doing the publicity for the new Sammy in the Circle record, and of course everybody wants to talk about Van Halen too. So a couple articles on there, just some good interviews with Sammy.
Right on. Well, good. Hey, good articles with Sammy. That's a no-brainer, you guys. Get over there and check them out and say hi on behalf of us at Van Halen News Desk. But with that being said, I guess, Corey, you know what? We have got to talk about the poll. We've got to talk about the rockin' poll that we do every week. Please talk to me about the poll this past week.
I'll tell you what, I think this was our most popular poll. We had over 150 votes on this one. And I know I when I posted the poll, I put, all right, if this one isn't a landslide, I just give up. Like, I don't understand the world anymore. I'm happy to report it was a landslide. 96.2% What Dreams Are Made Of, 3.8% This Dream Is Over. So that's really like just a couple of votes. And actually, one of them explains themselves in the comments, but it's as you would expect. Anyone who's listening to this show or following us on Twitter, they're fans of Van Halen. And if you're a fan of Van Halen, you love Unchained.
Yeah, I was just about to say, for those that if you weren't in the know from last week and you didn't want to do your homework, we talked about Unchained last week, which is, as I said, arguably one of their most well-respected, well-known tracks, I would dare to venture. When you think of Unchained, chances are that is how you identify Van Halen. If you're a lot of people, we certainly are not going to argue that, so... 96.2 The Dreams Are Made Of, and then the 3.8. I'm very curious. I'm just so curious as to hear the reasoning on the downvotes, because I don't get it. I thought this one was just gonna be a clean sweep, Corey.
I did too, but you're always going to have that one contrarian, and it's not John Mariano. He actually kicks off.
It's not.
He kicks off the Twitter comments this week, just saying it wasn't me. And I believe him because I know he's a fan of just good rock music. He wouldn't downvote Unchained no matter how badly he wants to mess with our polls.
Yeah. John is an agent of chaos, but that chaos only goes so far. So we believe you, John.
I tell you what, the cult is growing to other shows. Our good friend Kevin Brown has started his journey into the Queen catalog with Seaside Pod Review, one song at a time. Their third track, they spun Somebody to Love, which is one of the great Queen tracks of all time. And absolutely. I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting because our third track that we ever spun was Hot for Teacher. So we got a big one on the third show. They got a big one on the third show, but they put up a poll as well, and they had people downvoting Somebody to Love. And I don't know how that could happen.
Probably I will venture a guess and say these are probably the people that think the only song Queen ever wrote of note was Bohemian Rhapsody. And while that song is amazing and it's a classic, it's not the only weapon they have in their arsenal. I assure you, Queen has a cavalcade, much like Van Halen. They have a cavalcade of songs in their catalog that would make you go, this is one of their best, if not the best. They have multiple songs like that. So I would say Somebody to Love is one of their most powerful. And yeah, I don't see how you're a Queen fan if you're downvoting that. I'd like to hear what that's all about too.
I know it's actually my favorite Queen track of all time because I gave Kevin shit. I'm like, he keeps saying he'll have me on a show. to spin the wheel, but you already got rid of my favorite song. So fuck you. Oh, I don't want to come on your show now. I'm just kidding. I like a lot of Queen. So I thought Queen was a great choice for this kind of format because, like Van Halen,
yes,
you know, the majority of the catalog is massive and fantastic and amazing, but there's some turds in there. And Queen has some turds in there. Like Freddie wrote an entire song about his cat and called it Delilah and put it on the Innuendo album. So, you know, with cat meows and everything in it, it's terrible. But you need to have some of those just to lighten up the conversation.
I mean, not to give any fuel to the Kate Bush haters, but I mean, she did a whole album where she's making animal noises. So, you know, sometimes you just got to go full beastly and see what happens in the recording booth. It's not always going to be a winner.
No, but when you're Freddie Mercury, and unfortunately you're dying of AIDS, who's like, whatever the hell you want to do, Fred, we'll do. You want to write a song about your cat? 100%. I'm going to do the best cat meows I can on it for you.
Good for them.
But we're not here to talk about Queen. Follows In the Lap of the Pods and the Seaside Pod review for all your Queen talk there. We're talking Van Halen. We're talking Unchained. Let's get into the Twitter comments here. There's a lot of them. Future Squash 767 said, who dislikes Unchained? And Rhonda Evans said, no one in their right mind. So that's how we start off. And you got to agree with those. Yeah. Dicker Chris is my ringtone. Quintessentially Van Halen, the Pasadena party band. There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Deep Purple podcast was speculating about the downvote, saying, I'd say at this point that it was just a few fingers slipping. And that very well could be. Sometimes, you know, especially if you're on your phone, right, and you got fat fingers like I do, and you go to click one thing, you might accidentally tap another. So it could have been something like that. Jonathan says, fair warning, contains my top two Van Halen songs of all time, Mean Streets and then this. Unchained is a dream I wish I didn't have to wake up from.
Exactly. Well said.
Our good buddy Michael Green says, I'm just going to say it. It's one of the best Van Halen songs ever released. It has it all.
No argument.
Absolutely. And here's what Tony says. Oh, shit. I read this wrong and I hit the wrong choice. Unchained is most excellent. So there's one of the downvotes.
So there's one mistake. Yes.
Yeah. But he owned up to it and says Unchained is actually excellent. So we could actually lower that percentage a little bit because he admitted he made a mistake. Yeah. Rihanna says what dreams are made of. Absolutely. Coach Green says if you downvote Unchained, turn in your Van Halen card. And there's actually quite a few comments similar. Steve says it doesn't get more Van Halen than Unchained. Coach Green again says, well said, if you need one song to define a band, this is the song. And you can't really argue with that. Yeah. Robert says anyone voting no on this should not be listening to Van Halen. You agree with him there. Like I said, this is the most Van Halen song you're going to get. So Kyle Anderson says, hell, this song is off the chain. And Tom understood that reference and said, I see what you did there, Waldo. Deep Purple podcast. Oh, yeah, 100%. Deep Purple podcast chimes back in and says, top tier Van Halen, even 4% the dream is over is too high. Got to just be a few jokers or Van Halen haters. So there you go.
I just don't know. I just don't know. We know that one of them slips. I'm hoping the rest were slips too.
Yep. Here's a comment from our buddies at the Maiden A to Z podcast, part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
Yeah.
They say, Unchained, the song that got me into the band for real. Motivational yet savage. A pounder and a thumper, a heavy hitter, a straight up classic in hard rock. Unchained is off the goddamn chain, full score. Amen.
Yes. Period.
Yep. End of discussion. Kevin Brown from the aforementioned Seaside Pod review in the Tom Petty Project says, this song is all about the direction changes for me. So fluid. Arguably the best DLR era song and definitely my favorite DLR vocal. Great harmonies, great solo, killer rhythm section. Oh, and Sammy nailed it when I saw them live in 04. Quintessential Van Halen. I know.
Of course he did.
Yeah. But yeah, we talked about, you said Sammy never, I think our guest on the week there said Sammy never actually did this song. He did, though, on the 04 tour. So Kevin Brown pointing that out. Bruins fan 71 says, at the time, it must have been 1%. Because he says, does the 1% have to count? This person can't even be a Van Halen fan. Absolutely love it. So
again, no argument.
Yep. Gene Hickey says, if this doesn't smash the vote record and end up at least 95% what dreams are made of, I'll be joining you in saying that I'm giving up. So, fortunately, we're over 95. We're at 96, probably 97. Yeah, if you can take away that one vote that where he slipped.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Fat Man on Guitar says, Unchained is not my favorite Van Halen song. It's not in my top five, maybe not top 10. But if I had to pick the quintessential Van Halen song, Unchained might be it. It's got the boogie, swagger, humor, and party attitude that typifies the first DLR era.
Interesting. That's an interesting perspective. I wonder if... I can't assume with that review that he was a downvoter. He just simply said it's not his favorite and it's not his top five. But he said quintessential. So, okay, never mind Fat Man on Guitar. I'm going to assume you still voted yes because... Come on.
Yeah. Fat Man Guitar is going to be on the show here coming up, hopefully in the new year. But his comment really spoke to me because there's a song we're going to be spinning at some point, Mark, that I know is one of your top five Van Halen songs. And I'm a little more with Fat Man on Guitar on that particular song. I can't wait to kind of get to it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I'm kind of more on the fence about it. It should be a good show. Scott Monroe says, I'll just say I appreciate the tongue-in-cheek breakdown between DLR and Templeman, even more nowadays after reading the backstory in Greg Renoff's book. Oh, and it's a perfect song. So
good shout out to our buddy Greg.
Yep. Hopefully he's feeling better. He couldn't make our first live show because he was feeling under the weather. And here's my tease to stay tuned for later in the episode. We'll be announcing the details of our second live show coming up in December. Woo-hoo! Chaz Mataz says, it's what D-tunas are made for. Get it?
That's a guitar tuning reference there for you.
I thought it was good. Kyle Anderson has said possibly the best Van Halen song. Doesn't get much better. You don't like this, you don't like Van Halen.
Again, I'm not disagreeing.
Ray says, finally, quite possibly the most Van Halen-y song ever recorded. Yep, can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Zito, who in his comment actually posted a gif of Nigel Tufnel from Spinal Tap saying these go to 11, which automatically makes this my favorite comment because Spinal Tap's my favorite movie of all time. But he says, Unchained isn't just one of the best Van Halen songs. It's one of the best hard rock songs ever. An untouchable, perfect 11. These go to 11.
All right on all counts.
False Premise says, you know, the sad part of the wheel landing on this jam is that I really don't need to listen to this episode. I probably will anyway.
We appreciate your honesty there, and we hope that you still tuned in just to hear our perspectives.
Yes, and our old buddy Tom Armbruster said you should. It's a great discussion. So
see,
hopefully
there you go.
Hopefully Paul's premise False Premise replied with, come on Tom, give me a break. And then Tom posted the classic Captain America gif from Endgame where he says, no, I don't think I will. So
old man Steve,
that's right. All right, Jonathan Todd says, dear 3.9% of you voters, I understand. I've done stupid things where I'm under the influence too. Please stop drinking and tweeting. The buttons are small and look alike when you see four of them.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Yeah. And we appreciate you. Take a drink.
We have this one here from Darkman, Mark the Bat, who the downvotes are not actually for the song, but for myself and Corey, as we are not the Van Halen experts and have to be reminded of such. To which Chaz says, nah, people are fucking with you. Anyone down voting Unchained is unhinged. Probably voted for Trump, or maybe might say it's overplayed. All the same, fuck those guys. Absolutely.
100%. I'll retract my theory on that and chalk it up to just a couple of people being contrarians just for the sake of being contrarian. And then there's the miss voting, which might have happened all the way through. Who knows? So
yeah,
we'll call those downvotes a fluke. We'll call it a fluke.
Yeah. Statistical anomaly. There you go. Mm-hmm. Josh says, brilliant. Band is firing on all cylinders and Eddie playing with confidence like his dick is dragging on the ground. David Lee Smith says, to anybody who doesn't like Unchained, turn your Van Halen membership card in, take your one foot out the door, and don't come back because I don't want to hear about it later.
Oh, clever boy with the puns.
Oh, Davey. Love it. Good comment there. Jonathan P. Todd comes back and says, Eddie's rhythm on this track is why he is the king. My ringtone since 2009, Unchained. Jeez, I'm going to change my ringtone now. Yeah, that's a good idea. That'd be a great
ringtones are still a thing?
Like customized
ringtones?
Yeah. I don't think I haven't turned the volume on my phone in 4 years. I don't think it's always on silent. So.
I know. Yeah. Mine's either it's all silent or vibrate because I'm just not going to hear it if it's the ring is actually happening.
I didn't buy a phone to talk on the phone. I just want to like do Twitter polls. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. And finally, Ryan Powell says, too much awesomeness to cover. Attitude of Dave, aggression of Ed and Al. Out of time, 7 beats across 4 beat measures. Ed and Al lead into the chorus and under the solo. Critically, first time Ed was able to multi-track. Rhythm plus lead equals huge sound with killer outro solo climax. Mark, you're the musician. You got all that?
You had me at solo climax. Just for the funnies of it all. But all right. Yes, I got you.
Those are the Twitter comments for the week.
All right. Good stuff, everybody. Thank you so much. I think that 3.8% or less, just flukes. It's just fluke voting. It's all good. We all know the truth, and the truth is Unchained is absolutely a quintessential Van Halen tune. Maybe not the, but a quintessential tune. Let's put it that way. Agree to disagree. All good. Yay. So now it's time to get into the actual show of the week. We go to the wheel, we spin it. Now, before we do that, we got to do what we always do. And that is for me to ask you, Corey, what particular Van Halen song are you trying to manifest for the show tonight?
Well, it seems like every time I try and manifest a Sammy tune, I get a Dave tune. So I'm going to try a little reverse psychology on the wheel. Usually when we do this to the wheel, it doesn't work. But I'm going to try it this week. I'm going to try and manifest a Dave song. And I was thinking, you know, Van Halen was such a great cover band. What's a cover that they did that is 100 times better than the original? And I'm going all the way back to Van Halen 1, and You Really Got Me Now, originally done by the Kinks. Nothing wrong with the Kinks, but Van Halen's version fucking slaps. It's amazing. So I'm hoping for You Really Got Me Now from Van Halen 1. How about you?
I would not be mad at that. Let's see if the wheel wants to follow your plan here, or maybe the wheel has something else in mind. I am actually going to manifest one of my absolute favorite songs. And I've talked about the song before. I have tried manifesting it before. It hasn't come to fruition, but just maybe, because I too am going for a Van Halen 1 song, and that is Ain't Talking About Love. Because
I've been asking for that one for a while.
Yeah, it is absolutely probably in my top three Van Halen songs for sure. Always battling for that first position, but just narrowly missing out. And we can discuss that later when we come to it. But I would really love to hear something from Van Halen 1, apparently, because I wouldn't be mad at You Really Got Me. And I certainly would be most grateful for a little Ain't Talking About Love. So Corey and I both were going all the way back to the beginning for the start of the journey for so many people when Van Halen hit the scene, at least with a major record as it is. So Van Halen 1, that is what we're manifesting. That's what we're putting out into this universe. Hopefully the wheel picks up on the energy. Corey, if you're ready, I'm ready. Let Sammy know it's time to wake up and do his one thing, make a living. Anyway, if Sammy's ready, let's take it away.
All right, he's hopping up and down. He's got his parachute pants on. He's got his little, headset mic on and his guitar. And here he goes.
Shot of Cabo Wabo.
Here we go.
Well, we're going to get a cover.
We're getting a cover.
And it's a Diver Down. Oh, Pretty Woman from Diver Down. Well, I tell you, we haven't had anything really from Diver Down other than Happy Trails. So this is kind of a nice surprise.
It is a nice surprise. You know, I think you were on the right track. Whatever energy you were exuding to get a cover song by Van Halen, that worked. Just not the one that you were asking for. But look. This is for me, Pretty Woman. I'm extremely familiar with it because it's one of their more popular songs. It's not even their song. The song itself, Pretty Woman, is humongously popular. You have most certainly heard it in a movie or a TV show, or like by all accounts on your radios every year you've been alive at this point. It is a classic tune, and I really, really do enjoy Van Halen's version of this song. I think it it just makes it sound cooler. You know, it's a cool song by itself and by the original version, but for some reason you put a little Van Halen spin on it and it's just going to be amplified that much more. Or maybe this is just my, you know, biased thinking coming into play, but how do you feel about Pretty Woman?
I'm a big Roy Orbison fan. Like my mom used to listen to a lot of Elvis, a lot of Roy Orbison. So we had Pretty Woman playing pretty religiously. It's kind of ironic. In my day job, I'm a community television producer and we do a show in a record store called The Vinyl Countdown. One of the guys this week reviewed Mystery Girl, Roy Orbison's last album. So we talked a lot of Roy Orbison just a few days ago. So it's kind of funny that we spent Oh Pretty Woman here. This was kind of the originally for a cover, David Lee Roth wanted to do Dancing in the Streets and the brothers kind of said, I really don't know what to do with that. It's not, you know, we can't really Van Halenize it, right? And so the compromise song was Pretty Woman. And it actually became a surprise hit to the point where they were just going to release a cover song just to kind of get them through the holidays while they work on the new album, take a little bit of a break. But Pretty Woman hit in January of 1992. So they had to kind of rush an album out. And that's why Diver Down, you know, has, you know, some original songs, but it also has quite a few covers on it. And actually, there is an instrumental right before Pretty Woman on the album called Intruder that we should probably give a listen to tonight as well, Mark.
We should, absolutely, because it's, to me, it's not a different track. It's the just the great intro.
There's also a really interesting video for Pretty Woman, if you remember. There was the, like, Mike was, yes, a samurai. And, oh yeah, it was weird. I don't know, I'm almost tempted to bring that up too. We should maybe watch the video.
we certainly can if we feel like we must, but yeah, it's not the greatest video, let's put it that way.
Oh, it's something.
It is definitely something.
We haven't really talked a lot about Diver Down because we've only done Happy Trails. What are your thoughts on Diver Down as an album?
I think it's a fine album. It's not one that with the exception of kind of the hits that came with it, it's not really one I put in any of my Van Halen rotations intentionally. You know what I mean? If the songs come up, then like Dancing in the Street or Oh Pretty Woman and Happy Trails, like that's really kind of the extent of it in terms of my memory of, oh yeah, this is from the Diver Down album. Otherwise, it never really wasn't one that I rotated quite often, not nearly as often as, you know, say, you know, Balance or, you know, Van Halen 1 or 2, things of that nature, or the Fuck album. How about you?
Kind of the same. Like I said, 5 covers on this thing. And to me, you know, some of the originals were kind of hit and miss. I'm not going to tip my hand too much. It does have some classics, like Little Guitars is a very popular track, off Diver Down, or Cathedral, which Eddie had been doing like a whole year prior. He really wanted to put it on record. Things like that. Where Have All the Good Times Gone is another Kinks song that they do on the record. I'm kind of a Kinks fan, even though I think Van Halen kind of blew him out of the water with You Really Got Me Now. But I really, again, not to tip my hand, we're going to listen to it with a whole new fresh set of ears here. But Pretty Woman was the big hit off Diver Down, and I'm kind of looking forward to spinning it. But before we do that, how about we check out a little Intruder?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. Intruder. Mark, your thoughts.
Now, I don't know the story behind Intruder, but to me, it just sort of feels like they... it feels like Alex and Mike had this this rhythm section sort of, you know, loop, as it were, and they didn't know what to do with it, and then Eddie just decided, you know, I'm gonna put something on top of it, and just didn't, you know, because it doesn't sound like he's really doing anything except just making a shitload of noise while Mike and Alex are trying their best to hold it together. But I tell you, the first time I heard this before Pretty Woman, it was some radio station years ago. I didn't know that Oh Pretty Woman had a sort of intro called Intruder before.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
They launch into the actual song, but at some point a radio station played both Intruder that led into Pretty Woman, and I remember just thinking, what the hell was that? Is that normally part of the song? I've never heard, like, what's happening there? And so for a long time I just thought there are two versions of Oh Pretty Woman by Van Halen. There is you know, the radio friendly, or like it's the super rare long intro, and it's like that just seemed more special. Little did I know until actually checking out Diver Down that it was, oh, that's just a separate track that leads into it. What are your thoughts on Intruder, Corey?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of background, because I did some reading on this album, you know, when I was reading the book that Noel Monk wrote. And apparently the video, because they just made a video, it had nothing to do with the song Pretty Woman. They just wanted to make, like, David wanted to make like an old MGM style movie into a video. Yeah. And the video was longer than the song. So they went back in the studio and they recorded Intruder to pad out the length of the song. Dave actually says he wrote this with no consideration for the music at all. He just wanted to make it fit into the video. He played a little synthesizer on it. Eddie apparently just grabbed a Schlitz can and just kind of jammed it against the strings to make that feedback while the guys were playing underneath it. So they really didn't put a lot of thought into Intruder. It was just to kind of pad out the length of the video for them. But it was very atmospheric. Yeah. It was kind of cool. And when I think about Roy Orbison and Pretty Woman, that's not the mood so much, but hey.
No, I know. That's why I always found it really odd, especially that very first time I ever heard it. I went, what the hell was that? Because it just doesn't, you can tell that it's heading somewhere and it's all in the same key. Even the screeches and the noises still fit the key and the motif of what becomes Oh Pretty Woman. But it's such a weird sort of intro, but having just heard the story behind that, oh, okay, well, that makes a little more sense. Still don't know why they went in the direction they did, or at least why Eddie went in the direction that he did sonically for this Intruder track, but hey, more power to you. This is just the genius of Van Halen, subverting expectations.
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, Eddie Van Halen, by the sounds of it, was a little burnt out at this period. He wanted to take a little bit of a break before the next album. And David said, well, people are going to forget about us. We need to record a single. And he wanted to do Dancing in the Streets, and the brothers said no. And the compromise was Pretty Woman. So, okay, we went in there. They cut it out. Sounds pretty good. Released that as a single. Then it became a surprise hit, and the record label said we needed an album. So he had to kind of rush everything in there. So Eddie kind of disowned this album for a long time, saying, you know, he'd rather go down kind of on his own merits, not being a shitty cover band. But Diver Down definitely has its fans out there. And let's get into the big single from Diver Down, shall we? This is Oh Pretty Woman, originally written and recorded by Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to do a cover, having Eddie Van Halen as your guitar player really helps, because that automatically makes it better than any guitar that was on the original. And you listen to Roy Orbison's version, it's very plain, very understated, but you got Eddie in there and he does a little bend in there and a little wah, 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 just little Eddie Van Halen accents. It just makes it awesome.
Well, it helps that, you know, you're playing, you know, 1982. It's like the modern day. Hey, look, we have guitar effects that we can use. I've got overdrive. Poor Roy Orbison didn't have a lot of overdrive in his guitar tone, so you know he couldn't make it distorted, so it just sounds a little too clean, so to speak. But it's funny that you say that, though, because despite Eddie's overdrive, you know, his distortion effect that he has on his guitar, that sort of gives it that rock sound, it's still such a the motion of playing that riff is still so fluid, and it just feels like there's a wall of sound coming out of his guitar, even though there's not really. I mean, there's not a ton. It's just Eddie had just good tone, and he knew how to play, and he knew what sound he was going for. So yeah, it sounds very, very full, and thus kind of gives it that gives it a harder, you know, obviously a harder edge just based on the nature of the sound. But yeah, I'm with you 100%. Makes it sound so much better. It also just it makes me think of when you're in school and the cool guy walks in, or the cool girl walks in, so to speak, and you just hear the rocking guitar crunches, the power squeals, getting ready to launch into Oh Pretty Woman. You know, it's like you're a kid in high school, like, there she is, man, she's walking in slow motion, and all I hear is Pretty Woman in the background.
It's funny you say that. The actual inspiration for the title was Roy Orbison's wife Claudette, who during a writing session with Roy and his co-writer Bill Dees, she said she was going out and Orbison asked her if she had enough cash, and Bill Dees said, a pretty woman never needs anybody. And so that's where they got the title from.
It is true. Well, there you go.
Got to get the classic Roy Orbison Mercy in there, but no one's gonna, you know, mistake David Lee Roth for Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison has one of those very distinctive, beautiful, beautiful voices, and David Lee Roth is David Lee Roth, but I think he handles the material here pretty well.
He does. It also helps. This is one of the reasons I really enjoy this song, not to tip my hat cap or anything, but I love that this song utilizes all of the vocalists in the band to a degree, to a lot, because Roy Orbison used a lot of vocal harmonies in his original recording. So if you're gonna cover Roy Orbison, make it sound a little bit like it's a salute or tribute, whatever you want to call it. Make it fresh like your own, but don't forget what makes the song really stand out. And harmonies, man, it's all about the harmonies. And Van Halen knows how to do good harmony, so this is a no-brainer to me. And if you didn't add the sort of tiger call, whatever you want to call that, then you're doing the song a disservice. Thankfully, Dave understood the assignment.
Although Roy does it better. Roy's Tiger Call is legendary.
This was listening to this song was the moment where I realized I don't know how to make that sound. I don't think, like, how do I do that? And my dad could just roll his R's no problem. And he would just do it on a whim and for however long he saw fit. And he said, just roll your R. And I said, what do you mean? Like, how do you roll your R's? He would make the sound. And I go like, I don't know. And to me, it sounded like he was gargling. So for a long time, if I needed to roll R's or if I was like singing this song and I needed to do the tiger call there, I would have to gargle and make it sound like rolling R's because I couldn't do it. I finally got to a point to where I can do it, but I can't do it great. I have to actually be in the mindset to do it. So, but kudos to you, Corey. You can do it.
That's right. Me and my daughter can do it. My older daughter, my wife can't. So I'm just kind of, you're listening to this. This is a song from the 1960s, covered in 1982. Mm-hmm. You know, the big hits in 1982 were like Physical by Olivia Newton-John, Eye of the Tiger, I Love Rock and Roll, Ebony and Ivory, Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band. Like, I'm kind of surprised that this song, you know, kind of hit for Van Halen back in the day. It was a number 12 hit for him.
I'm not surprised because based on those songs you just listed, very top 40 sort of bubblegum pop rock is what you just is what comes to mind with those particular songs. And this is a cover of Pretty Woman, which Pretty Woman, by all accounts, I'm pretty sure would be considered in that sort of like pop rock category as well. Maybe it's just because of how it's a classic and you know, everybody knows it. But yeah, I'm not shocked by that. This one definitely takes a more harder edge because it is Van Halen, but I mean, but it's Pretty Woman. So yeah, I'm not at all shocked by that.
Tell you what, it might be the hardest song that hit the Billboard Hot 100 in 1982. Probably. Just going down the list, unless you want to go with something like Jack and Diane by old Johnny Cougar. But yeah, it's all pretty much just like, you know, Chicago's on here. Abracadabra by Steve Miller, like, yeah, a ton of like pop light rock type stuff. So yeah, Van Halen might have been the hardest thing going. It's actually listed at number 88 in the Billboard Hot 100 for 1982, so pretty respectable.
So you're saying 82 was a great year for the yacht rock campaign.
Exactly. Toto, Rosanna was there, I Can't Go for That by Hall and Oates. Yep, you want yacht rock? How about Tommy Two-Tone? 8675309.
I mean,
1982 podcast.
That's a good, oh man, that would be fun because it doesn't stop at music. There's movies.
That's right.
There's,
that's,
you know,
right.
all sorts of pop culture things. I wouldn't put Tommy Two-Tone on my specific yacht rock list, but that is a good song.
It is a good song.
Here's a question I have for you, though. You ever seen the movie Pretty Woman?
Yes, a long, long time ago.
Now, they use the movie's called Pretty Woman, so you can rest assured they're going to use the song Oh, Pretty Woman somewhere in that movie. My thing is, would it have served them better to use Van Halen's version, or did they do right by using the original Roy Orbison track?
What year did that come out? That was in the...
It was 1990 is when 1990? Pretty Woman came out. Yeah. So both were around.
1990, Roy would have just passed like a year or two previous to that. So maybe the better choice going with his, because he was with the Wilburys in what, 88, 89, and he had passed away during the Wilburys run there. So.
Well then, maybe you might be onto something there. I just found that kind of interesting because that... The Pretty Woman soundtrack, actually, it was, if I'm not mistaken, was pretty hot when it came out. Because it's got
Had that Roxette song on there that hit. I think that hit number one. It must have been Love.
Yeah, it must have been Love. You got Go West, King of Wishful Thinking on that one.
Right, that was a big one.
Yeah. And it's kind of a it's kind of a smorgasbord of different sort of things there. So I would just I wonder why they went with Roy Orbison's version as opposed to Van Halen's, because Roy, no disrespect to Roy, but I feel like for a movie of like that, it might have served just as well. I mean, obviously Roy's version works for the film, for the overall themes and thematics of the movie, but I'm just curious as to why they decided let's do the original and not do Van Halen's version. Maybe it was a rights thing, or you might be onto something about Roy just passing, so maybe it's a testament to his legacy. I don't know.
I tell you what, they love doing remakes of like old 90s movies right now, right? So if they ever remake Pretty Woman, then you use Van Halen's. I think that would fit a lot better.
Yeah, they probably just shouldn't do it. They probably just shouldn't touch that one. There are some movie like, and I would understand the mentality of why they would want to remake Pretty Woman. They probably just shouldn't.
But they probably will, and The Rock will be the Richard Gere character, and Kevin Hart will be the Julia Roberts character.
Kevin Hart will be Julia Roberts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Why not?
Why not? Pretty Woman from Diver Down. Mark, do you remember back in 1989, there's a little rap group called Two Live Crew, and they recorded a parody of Pretty Woman for their album As Clean As They Want to Be. Two Live Crew was really something in the late 80s. I remember if you had that tape, you're like, oh my God, I got the new Two Live Crew. It's X-rated. It's so bad stuff. But that a copyright claim went all the way to the Supreme Court. And they ruled in favor of Two Live Crew, and that kind of opened up the fair use doctrine for parodies and things like that. But I just remember, it was like Roy Orbison versus Two Live Crew in this copyright infringement. Roy would passed at the time, so it was his estate. But yeah, it went all the way to the Supreme Court.
I mean, my knowledge on a lot of Two Live Crew is limited, but I do remember Two Live Crew. did not know about that lawsuit. That's kind of funny when you say it out loud. Roy Orbison's estate versus Two Live Crew. And then Two Live Crew won, which is kind of really funny, actually. I don't even recall what track it was. What was the track?
I think it's called Pretty Woman from their album As Clean As They Want to Be. Yeah. And according to Wikipedia, it was about a hairy woman and her bald headed friend and their appeal to the person singing the song. So Two Live Crew likes hairy women and bald headed men, apparently.
Well, there you go. So be sure to check that out. I'm sure there's a Two Live Crew retrospective podcast out there somewhere. So if there is, shout out to you guys.
They should be on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
Yes. Join us. We're fun.
Yeah, as pod as they want to be. Look for it on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. But Mark, we got a job to do. We got to talk about Pretty Woman and whether we think this is what dreams are made of or is this dream over. Let's start with you. What are your thoughts on Oh, Pretty Woman?
Well, it is a cover, so it kind of doesn't get the same kind of fair treatment as a typical Van Halen song. But that being said... While it's probably unfair to judge it because it's not an original Van Halen tune, it is still so deep in the Van Halen category, sort of like echelon, that it feels like it's theirs. There's probably a whole generation of kids out there, me included, until I got older, that didn't even know that this song wasn't originally theirs. For the longest time, I thought Pretty Woman, that was Van Halen, because it sounded like Van Halen. They made it sound enough like themselves to keep it fresh. But then, as you know, if you listen to the original, then it's respectful, because it's, they're not going so far out of their way to make it sound like something different. It's like, here's Pretty Woman written by Roy Orbison, but it sounds nothing like it. It's completely a different genre, a different arrangement, whatever. No, they didn't do that. They simply just gave you what I think is a very good and powerful update of the song, as it were. You mentioned David Lee Roth he's doing his David Lee Rothisms, but he's not going too far out of his comfort zone, because to me, he still sounds like Roth. This still sounds like a song he would sing. And I love the fact that all the vocalists in the band get to utilize themselves in the vocal capacity. A lot of harmonies, got to keep those harmonies for Orbison. And they work, because Van Halen is tight with their harmonies, as we've discovered through this journey, or as you already knew listening to their music. So I think this is a spectacular cover song, so much so that when people talk about Van Halen songs, I guarantee you Pretty Woman comes up in there at some point, and it's not even theirs, because they've made it their own so hard and so well done that it might as well be theirs. It happens in music. So absolutely, Pretty Woman is what dreams are made of. I personally think it is a Van Halen classic, despite it not being originally theirs. So, with that being said, Corey, do I gotta ask?
I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said, like, respectful. This is a very respectful mm-hmm. cover. You can tell they really love and respect Roy Orbison, especially Dave. Like you said, he's not hooping and hollering all over the thing like he would on virtually any track on Van Halen 1. He's even, copying Roy's, the Tiger Growl, the rolling of the R and the Mercy and all that. To me, the real standouts are the vocals and the guitar. I love what Eddie's doing on this song, really elevating this song past what Roy Orbison did back in the 60s. Mike and Alex, they're just kind of playing it straight down the middle, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're not getting those big Alex Van Halen flourishes. There's even that little break before one of the verses, and Alex just does a boop, 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 mm-hmm. and then back in a Pretty Woman. He could have put in a little roll there or some cool little Tom fill or something. Kept it very, very straight, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love that they just went in the studio, found a song they liked, cut it like in one take, two takes, and put it out there, and it became a big hit for them. This is obviously a classic song. Roy Orbison won a Grammy for it posthumously from his HBO special. It's one of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. Rolling Stone named it number 224 on their list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. This is the Roy version, of course, but the Library of Congress selected it for preservation in the National Recording Registry. This is obviously an all-time classic American rock and roll song that Van Halen, in my opinion, elevates. I love Roy Orbison. I love his version. To me, the vocals on this and the guitar elevate it past Roy's. And I know a fellow like Eric Senich, who I love and respect very much, hates this song. He's not a real fan of Oh Pretty Woman. He likes Dancing in the Street, and I'm completely opposite. To me, Dancing in the Street is not a song that Van Halen is meant to cover. And when we get to that one, I can voice more opinions on it. But to me, Pretty Woman fits. Oh, Pretty Woman absolutely fits the Van Halen mold. They knocked it out of the park. This is a great track, and it's absolutely what dreams are made of.
There you go. Well said all around. So you might have gotten the idea of that's where we were headed at the top of the show, but that's okay. It is what it is, because sometimes, even though we think we know what we're going to vote on ahead of time, sometimes really diving into the song, analyzing it, can shift perspectives and shift opinions. That did not happen this time. And instead, it was just Corey and I listening to a track we already knew we enjoyed and just appreciating it a little bit more. There you have it. Oh, Pretty Woman from Diver Down. That's the second track we've done from Diver Down. We're not getting a lot from that one as far as the wheel goes. I'm willing to think, or I'm almost willing to bet that when it comes down to the final tracks, Corey, it might be sort of the a one-on-one battle between Diver Down tracks and the Fuck album. What do you think?
It's trending that way, but the wheel has gone on streaks before. We had like a run of A Different Kind of Truth early on. We had a run of Women and Children first. We had like three or four in a row from that album. Yeah. So I'm anticipating a run maybe of Diver Down at some point. Maybe it's going to happen next week and we're going to get another Diver Down track, which I would not be mad at. But I'm still holding out hope that we're going to have a good eclectic mix at the end. And I still think I'm still holding out hope that Jump is the very last track we do on the Van Halen side of And the Podcast Will Rock. But I would agree with you, but geez, this wheel has been streaky before. And we may go on another streak here. Who knows?
It's true. Well, if we do, hopefully it's a streak worth going on and not a complete, because we were also on a Van Halen 3 kind of streak there for a little
That's
bit,
right.
Or maybe not a streak per se, but definitely it was one coming up quite often, so often that I was under the impression that that'll
Too
be
often.
The first album. Yeah, that'll be the album we finish first of all the albums to get through. That'll be the one first. Honestly, it probably would benefit us if we got through that one first so we don't have to worry about it as we continue the show. Apologies to Gary. But until we know, we won't know, because it's not up to us. It's up to the wheel, and the wheel is fickle. Sometimes the wheel is fair. Tonight, the wheel was fair. So I'm very appreciative of that, and I'm appreciative of you, the listener. Thank you guys for tuning in. Corey, would you please let the listeners know where they can find us? Because I mean, we have a site. Most people interact with us on Twitter. We're just unsure. So can you please let them know where they can find the show, where they can listen to it, and where they can find other like-minded shows if they like ours?
Absolutely. There's a lot of conversation about Twitter, you know, maybe going the way of the dodo here pretty soon. So we're branching out, and we got a Facebook page started up that Mark Kammeyer is going to be handling for us. So if you're talking on Twitter, you're probably talking to me. If you're going to talk on Facebook, you're probably talking to Mark. So give him a shout out and say hi to him. Join our Facebook page. Yep. Search for Podcast Will Rock on there. I'll have an Instagram page up and running too. So we'll post some pics on there. Maybe we'll put our wheel spins on the Instagram page. What do you think, Mark? And people know that we're on the up and up.
I think we should. I think that's a good idea.
There you go. And I'm trying out that Hive social. We've got an account on there. I haven't posted anything. If Twitter goes away, maybe we'll move more stuff to Hive social. But for now, those are the main things. Of course, you can always go to our website, www.podcastwillrock.com. We just had a great email from a new listener. He's about 25 shows in. And he's from New Jersey, and he really wants to be on the show. So we're going to get him on the show coming up in the new year. But speaking of coming up on the show, I teased another live show early on. And for December, both Mark and I think we're going to do a deep dive December. That's right. Some of our brethren from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network will be joining us for our next live show Saturday, December 17th, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Corey and Mark time. We'll try and get as many deep divers on as we can. And let's recap those shows for you now here, folks. On the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, we have Nate and John from the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt from Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam from Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie from the Judas Priest Cast, John, myself, and Scott Haskin from Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, John and I again from Backtracks Theme Music, Clay and Rye from North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan from So Far So Pod So What, Kevin from the Tom Petty Project, Quinn at And Volume for All, and Sav, Nick, John, and Mark from the Rock Roulette Podcast. That's the whole Kit and Caboodle there, and hopefully we'll have a few of those boys on the show December 17th. Mark your calendars. Who knows? Maybe we'll grab some people just kicking around on Twitter and throw them in the waiting room and bring them on live too. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Shoot your shot if you want to be on the show quicker, because you know we're getting to as many of you as we can. It's hard sometimes, and you guys have been so enthusiastic about it. So we want to accommodate everybody. So if you are tired of the wait, try your damnedest to get onto the live show, because chances are you absolutely could. So. Be on the lookout, as Corey said, December 17th. That's going to be a very fun time. If it's even remotely close to how much fun we had for our anniversary live show, then this one is certainly to be a banger. But that's it. On behalf of Corey and myself, oh yeah, you can find me at MarkTheBat on Twitter for now. And Instagram. And then, yes, as Corey said, we do have a Facebook page now. So if you want to interact with me on there, do, and the podcast will rock on Facebook. Give it a like, give it a share, tell your friends, tell your family, anyone who remotely appreciates the work of Van Halen. I think they will get a kick out of what we do, and what we do is rock. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.